For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned, Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I'm always high on the hogs, guys. I'm high. Well, I'm not high right now, but my day is young.
My odometer's way up there. I'm that 2018 that's already got 130,000 miles on it.
The Razorbacks rush across the field to get that boot.
Tommy, Chuck, and Ty, you guys are the gold standards of sports talk radio.
He bleeds to Arkansas.
Ty's got good hair.
Matt texted in to our last topic. We were talking about what's your beef and all these different fees and excessiveness that you see on your taxes, bills, whatever. He says the Texas recovery fee is to pay UT for their hurt feelings and recovery for the upcoming horns down size.
That's not, likely it'd be a lot more than that if that was true. 30, their feelings are hurt all the time.
Yes, that is true. They are so the most sensitive.
$30 wouldn't begin to cover it, man.
The most sensitive college fan base and really university in the entire country. A guy that doesn't seem to be sensitive when it comes to a performance or something that goes awry, Hagan Smith. Let's take a step back to last year, right? Doesn't go according to plan in the Fayetteville Regional. First outing this season, it's cold. It's not pitcher conditions. Doesn't make it to the second inning. And then he just goes on a tear. Dave Van Horn has had this plan all offseason and all season. So we're going to save this guy. Now, he got asked about this at the media desk yesterday in Hoover, Alabama at the Met. Here's what he said in regards to his star pitcher and Golden Spikes semifinalist.
Mostly that was the plan, and every time I go get the ball from him, he looks at me funny. If it's during an inning, which it usually isn't, or we bring him in the dugout. We've taken an inning from him almost every outing because we told him we're going to need those in May and June.
And I know the regional, I think, technically begins this next, but I don't anticipate him playing like or pitching 7-8 innings starting this week.
No, I think
this starts, but we've had this idea, and I say we've had this idea. We've watched him dominate in 6 innings average the majority of the season. He's the strikeout king. He's the SEC pitcher of the year. He's probably going to be a Golden Spikes Award finalist, not the winner, but the finalist. And now we have to almost like rethink what postseason is going to consist of. Like Kevin Copps and him had different roles. But I think for Hagan, what you're going to see is not only him pitch on Friday, but we've wondered about the bullpen a little bit. He's going to tell Dave's like, this is my last college outing. Like, this is it for me. He's going to the majors. He's getting drafted in the first round. We're going to see this guy on Sunday if it's a do-or-die situation, even if he pitches on Friday. I absolutely think that.
I won't go with that.
As long as it's not like an excessive amount of pitch count on Friday, I think we'll see him in an inning or two on that Sunday or a closeout game or something.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. I mean, this is a multi-million dollar arm. Now, if you're telling me he's going to come in and get one guy or one batter, and he had a shorter outing on Friday in game one of your best of three, you know, I could see a very unusual or not a very unique situation that might play out. But the idea of him pulling a Kevin Copps, I don't think so. I mean, this guy's got a multi-million dollar arm. This guy's going to go top 10 in the draft, probably top five.
Mm-hmm.
Going to be one of the first pitchers taken. For him, I understand you want to win a national title. You want to extend your season. For him, it's not worth it. As much as I want the Arkansas Razorbacks to go to Omaha and take it all home, I mean, it's not worth it for him on an individual basis.
I think it's...
No, I don't see that playing out that way. I don't think that's what Dave meant. I think what Dave meant by his comments was instead of Hagen going six innings in a start in a regional or a super regional, he may go eight now.
Okay, so you're just thinking that first game is going to be
more. I'm thinking
that
first game could be longer, and that's where he helps the team is staying out of the bullpen. You know, and I don't know if he'd pitch a complete game. We haven't. Mm-hmm. That's not something we've seen. When I hear Dave talk, I hear him talking about extending his start.
First
if he's
game.
Still got good velo and he's got command and it's not a day where it's sweltering and he's not getting dehydrated, maybe he, you know, if he looks good after six, you leave him in for seven. If he looks good after seven, you let him go eight, and then you let someone else close it out if there's any signs of labor. But now I don't see him getting the nod twice in a weekend. What I think he can do is maybe keep you out of your bullpen in one of three games or one, you know, and put you that much closer to closing out a series.
And I think that's fair. We'll get some insight from Phil Elson, who's going to join us in about 40 minutes from now. He's live in Hoover, Alabama, thanks to the Stadium Shop on Razorback and Cofers Boat Center. As far as that's kind of a look on not just this week, but really the upcoming weekends. And I say the upcoming weekends because I'm expecting Arkansas to at least make a super regional. You know what you say about assuming. We saw what happened with TCU last year. But what's going to happen?
Different sport, but what happened with Arkansas softball last week?
Yeah, that's a good point. Fayetteville regional doesn't always go according to plan. Ask both Courtney Dyfel and Dave Van Horn. But what is the plan this week in Hoover, Alabama? Not much from Dave here, but here's what he said about Smith.
He should pitch in the next couple of days. We're not sure yet on how we're going to use him, but he'll get out there.
Again, not a lot there. That's really all I got for you on the plan for Hagen. I know everyone's wanting to know. My thought is if you win today, you don't pitch him till Friday. That gives him at least a week, depending on if you pitch him off or not. I don't know if that's how Dave and Matt Hobbs are going to approach it. No, Ben Bybee's going to get the start tomorrow. But that's kind of what I foresee happening later on. Maybe you go Tiger tomorrow. But and again, it is dependent upon what happens later on about 1 o'clock against the Gamecocks.
Yep. And, you know, then I think you can formulate a plan because once you get past today and you get past tomorrow, then you're out of the double elimination game. The finale of that is on Friday. So, you know, win or lose on Well, if you lose on Friday, I guess, and you know, you move, but you're gone. And if you win on Friday, you move into single elimination. So there's, you got to navigate this 2-day part.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa has everything you want for your next getaway. With the luxury and hospitality of a grand old Southern hotel, the accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit our thermal water bathhouse for mineral water baths and massages, or enjoy one of our many dining options, like our Friday night seafood buffet, primetime in a fountain room every Saturday night, or our award-winning Sunday brunch. Located in downtown Hot Springs, the Arlington is steps away from shopping, entertainment, Bathhouse Row, and the hiking and biking trails of the National Park. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more info.
Call or text the McLarty Daniel hotline at 877-377-6963. McLarty Daniel, a vehicle for every lifestyle.
When you're looking for a new car, you want to shop for a vehicle you love with an organization you trust. You've probably heard that McLarty Daniel means making deals, but what I'm inspired by the most is that McLarty Daniel means making a difference in our community. When you buy a vehicle with McLarty Daniel, you reinvest right here in the community, in our schools, in our little leagues, in our food banks, and our people. So you're not just making a purchase, you're making a difference too. Come see us at any of our six locations in Northwest Arkansas.
BetOnline is your number one source for all summer sports, from Major League Baseball, golf, to the NBA and NHL playoff stats. They've got all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
There's a lot of good memories here. You know, Ben and Tindy hitting one off the scoreboard after midnight, and Bobby Wernitz fouling off about 10 pitches and hitting a go-ahead home run, and us sprinting Zach Jackson to the bullpen so he could close the bottom of the ninth. And, you know, we were down 3 runs to Florida, an elimination game, and it didn't get started till late. It's probably 1 a.m, and a lot of people missed a really cool game, honestly. That's one of my good memories.
Well, I'll tell you, you didn't miss that game. It was Phil Elson, who now joins us live from Hoover, Alabama, thanks to our friends at the Stadium Shop on Ridgeback and Cofer's Boat Center. Phil, I did not make it up to that game that night till 1:30 a.m. in the morning, but I went back and watched it. Man, it was fun.
And the first pitch from Bobby Pointer is hit high in the air to deep right field. Andrew Benintendi has homered to lead off the ninth inning. A bomb into the scoreboard. Wow. 6-5 down by a run. Swing and a drive into left field. Way back it goes. You got to get out of here. Bobby Wernitz with a go-ahead home run. Oh, my goodness. A bomb over the left field fence. They've scored 3 times in the ninth. And on Bobby Wernitz's 5th of the season, the Hogs take a 7-6 lead.
Phil, Zach Jackson ended up closing it out. I think Dave was talking about running him over the bullpen or whatever to get that win. And you concluded that broadcast, I guess, a little after 2 in the morning.
That was a late night, Ty. That was a late night after a late night. It was like a later night after a late night because they played the day before. You know, 2015, what you just played, that's the last time that Arkansas played in the single elimination round in Hoover. You know, isn't that amazing? They didn't make it in 2016, but ever since 2017, they've had a bye to the round that we're playing in today. And in 2015, they went 10 innings Tuesday to beat Tennessee, kind of almost like Mississippi State beat Ole Miss last night. I think the score was 2-1 as well.
Right,
it was. Yeah, and then... And then the next day, heck, I don't remember the game that was in front of us, but like this week, we have great weather. That week, we did not have great weather.
Yeah.
It was one of those like typical Hoover weeks, and we started late. I think I did, and I was doing that game solo because Rick Schaefer was my partner then, and he didn't go to Hoover. So I did like an hour and a half pregame, maybe 2 hours.
Woo.
Yeah, and then led into that game in which we didn't, I mean, you know, it was just craziness. I remember trying to sitting there. I think I was at the Steak and Shake down the street here in Hoover with Eric Bolin and with David Bell, who was the SID. Of course, Eric's still covering Razorback Athletics. And, I didn't get to bed till like 4 a.m.
Yeah, but you
didn't have a radio show to host the next day, so I could sleep in a little bit. It was kind of fun.
But you only spent $5 on dinner. So, I mean, you did okay. Right. Steak and Shake. So.
Right. Those were 2015 Steak and Shake prices too, right?
Exactly. The good old ones.
Phil, I don't, those little thin fries that are so good.
There. Yeah, the good old Shoestring. Phil, I don't know if we can expect an epic game like we had back in 2015 against Florida. You do know your opponent, though, South Carolina. They win 10-5 yesterday against Alabama. They're not a bubble team. Like we were talking about this before you came on. This is a team that would, again, like to continue on. I think they lost 6 straight prior to yesterday. What do you think about this matchup with Ben Bibee getting the start about 1 o'clock?
Well, I mean, I'm not really surprised that Bibee's the starter. I thought it would be him or it would be Brady Tigard. I thought maybe Tigard because then you can control the situation that he's coming into, which is, you know, a dry start, nothing. And take it from there. But I still don't know if he's going to pitch today or not. You know, Dave was a little just kind of secretive with his pitching plans, and that's understandable. There's reason to do that. But I'm happy Ben's getting this chance. You know, Carolina didn't see Ben Bibee. Ben didn't really pitch against SEC teams very much, which makes this a little bit unique because by the end of the season, you know, if you face the team, they've faced your starters, but not in this case.
Yeah.
So there, Arkansas is in a position where, you know, they Carolina, I think they felt like they needed yesterday's game, not for any other reason than to ensure that they didn't go into the postseason with a 7-game losing streak. They're not hosting. Anything they do against Arkansas, you know, won't help them host. But, you know, that is a team that kind of had a hot start. And sometimes if you got a 6-game losing streak, you stop it all of a sudden, you can get going. And I'm sure they'd like to do that.
We've had a few texts and calls on the McLarty Daniel hotline with, let's just say, concern about Ben Bibee starting. And he may be your first pitcher out, but the plan's not for him to go 9 innings or 7 innings. I mean, if he gets you through the rotation, maybe if he sees 12 batters today, I think that's a successful outing. So for those that are wondering why Tigert isn't starting the game and Bibee is, I mean, I don't see this going probably less than 3 arms today, I would guess.
Yeah, maybe in the best possible case.
Yeah.
In the best case, you get 4 to 5 from Ben Bibee. I think they'll let him go. He's gone 5 to 6 innings this year. That didn't happen against an SEC team, but it doesn't mean he can't pull it off. Mm-hmm. I like Ben as a pitcher. He throws hard. He's a big kid. Mostly throws strikes. He's got to stay out of the middle of the strike zone, which is a problem for him because he has been hittable, but he's also a guy that's kind of fallen into some bad luck here and there, which means to me you get to finish batters off. I think Ben's allowed his share of little dribbler infield hits and, you know, balls hit in the exact right place. But sometimes that means, you know, in 2 strikes, you're having trouble finishing guys off. I hope he can do that. With Brady, if he does pitch today, I'm just interested to see if he's able to get his fastball over for strikes, because if he can, then you got Brady Tigert back. It kind of starts with that. I know everybody thinks about his breaking pitches, but if you can't throw a fastball for strikes, there's not much that you really can do. So, and they got a hit. You know, Carolina's thrown Eli Jones today. He had been the Friday pitcher for South Carolina, and he was moved to Saturdays recently and really hadn't been doing all that well. In fact, I think they made that change when Arkansas was in Carolina. You know, they kind of pitched off a little bit for that first game, and they moved Jones away from Hagan Smith, and I don't know if that got in his head or not, but he hadn't necessarily been the same pitcher since.
Well, that's an interesting comment right there, because I think when you get the nod for a start in a key moment, or you don't, it does affect your confidence that you feel from your head coach, mm-hmm. from those making that decision. So, I mean, with Bibee, this has got to be a good dose of confidence to get the ball first at the SEC tournament.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. And again, I don't think it's a surprise. I think this would have been the plan all along, that if you're in a position, look, they don't need to do anything here, except I think play 3 games is important. I don't think you want to go 2 and out. And part of that is just playing baseball is good for baseball players. You know, we act sometimes like coming to Hoover is a bad thing because these games don't really matter very much. But what are you going to do the week before you're playing in a national tournament? I mean, I think playing baseball is a good thing to do. It's not football necessarily. So,
well, but here's another thing, Phil. You lost 2 of 3 at A&M. You go 2-0-2 in barbecue in Hoover. You've lost 4 or 5 heading into the region. That's not, I mean, I know those things are separated by a week in the calendar, and then you go into the region with another week, but you still don't want that kind of around your – you don't want that collar around your neck that you've lost 4 of your last 5 going into a regional.
Yeah, you don't want to make it a habit. You know, that's the thing that to me is a defining characteristic of this team, is that they've consistently – they've developed habits that win them baseball games. They're a habitual winning team. You know, they haven't had a losing streak longer than 2 games. And so, you know, a lot of times that goes on display even in a tournament like this that's such a high level. So, yeah, I mean, I think part of this is just keeping your habits up, which is a little difficult to do because this tournament is such a standalone thing. You know, it's not regular season. It's not at anybody's home ballpark. It's not postseason. It's high-level baseball. So, yeah, I mean, that to me is what this week is about. Don't lose 2 in a row and keep your habits up.
Phil Elson with us live in Hoover, thanks to the Stadium Shop on Razorback and Cofer Sports Center. Phil, did you grab one of those Matt Hobbs shirts that the pitchers were wearing yesterday? Did you get one of those?
No, I didn't. I didn't get a Matt Hobbs shirt. What is it? An MFMH shirt?
Yeah.
These are supposed to be easier to roll off the tongue.
You would think so.
BMFP rolls off the mouth and tongue a little easier than MF. I can't even do it. Yeah. And I love Matt, and he's awesome. So I do want one of those shirts, and I'd like him to sign it. But they might need to come up with a different anagram.
Yeah, maybe so. I'll stay on the subject of pitching. Me and Tommy were kicking this around, and I wanted your take on this. Dave was on the SEC Network broadcast yesterday talking about, like, we limited Hagen to the majority, six innings for the most part. I think he went seven innings one game. But now it's postseason. I don't necessarily expect him to go seven or eight innings in Hoover, but what kind of expanded role could we potentially see with Hagen starting next week? Is he just going to go longer for one game, or could you see him two games in a regional or super regional?
No, I don't think you'd see him two games in a regional, unless it's maybe, you know, for some reason. And it would depend on what day he starts. You know, if he starts on a Saturday, then he's not going to pitch again. If he starts on a Friday, if you needed him on Monday to throw to a couple of batters, I'm sure he could do it. I don't think that's the role that we're talking about here, because they already have a good bullpen. The cautiousness that they're taking with him because of his prospect status, I think supersedes that. Mm-hmm. But what he can do is throw 120, 125 pitches in a game. And he hasn't come close to that yet, and he can do it. Like, that's the message he's delivering. Yeah. We've been taking him out. Everybody's like, why is he only throwing six innings? Why is he only throwing six innings? He can throw seven. Yeah, you're damn right he can throw seven, but he doesn't need to in a lot of these games because the pen has been so good. And independent of that, if the plan has been to save some of these, you know, quote unquote bullets in the chamber for May and June, well, now it's May and June.
Right.
10 extra pitches, 15 extra pitches, 20 extra pitches to some pitchers, I think, makes a big difference. To Hagen Smith 2 years ago, that would have made a big difference. Now, we're talking about a world-class athlete right now. He's a big kid. He's strong. He can throw 125, and there's not going to be much difference or any difference between Hagen Smith and the eighth inning or Hagen Smith in the sixth inning. That's what he's talking about. The expanded role is to pitch more innings.
Yeah, and if things went to plan and you got past a 4-1 matchup with someone else and he kept you out of the bullpen, I'm not going to say complete game, but seven or eight innings, you've got a much fresher bullpen for the third game of a regional, and I think that's exactly. And think about that from a super regional standpoint for games two and three when you're trying to close out and punch a ticket to Omaha. That's exactly what I believe the plan is, hey, if this guy could, you know, we're going to be willing to go into the eighth or maybe later if needed with Hagen Smith.
I guarantee you that there's nothing about Hagen Smith right now that he's going to get hurt by throwing 125 pitches next week. He's not going to happen this week. Next week, and then doing it again the next week, and then doing it again the next week for as long as he's a Razorback now. I don't think that's going to hurt him. Part of the other aspect of this is that this could be the end of the season for Hagen Smith. I don't just mean in terms of college, but I mean in terms of whoever drafts him is probably not going to be in a position to contend. So they don't need to rush him. They also don't need to just, like, okay, go out and pitch in the minor leagues, kid. You know, I think they'll handle him with kid gloves, you know, when he gets drafted. And then by this time next year, I don't see why he's not pitching in the major leagues.
All right, last question. All the eight teams that are still around today, are they all safely in the tournament? I guess Vanderbilt might be the one question. Is all eight teams that are still alive safely in the field of 64?
Yeah, I think so. I really do.
We know A&M, Mississippi State, Tennessee, Arkansas, Kentucky are in.
You got your four seeds.
LSU would be the other question
mark. Yesterday, there might have been, like, elimination thought between Well, not elimination thought. If Ole Miss would have pulled off that win yesterday, you know, Mississippi State was still in. Ole Miss still needed to win two or three or maybe even the entire tournament. So, no, I do think everybody's in.
I just, you know, I look at the RPIs of where LSU's at going into yesterday at 30, Vanderbilt at 27. I mean, I know that's not the end-all, be-all, but those are really, of the eight teams left, the two that you might have some wonder or worry about getting in. But I think this is going to be 9 or 10 teams. I think these eight, Georgia for sure is in. Florida, I think, put themselves maybe outside the field yesterday with that loss to Vanderbilt.
You know, and I was talking with their radio announcer, Jeff Cardozo, yesterday morning, and he, you know, in his conversations with a lot of folks who, you know, like the prognosticators who really do have a sense of how the committee makes their decisions, he felt really safe that no matter what happened, they would be in because they would still have a winning record. You have to have a winning record to be considered, and they have the number one strength of schedule and, you know, their RPI is in a good place. And I kept thinking to myself, it's like, well, it's nice to have the number one strength of schedule, but aren't you supposed to win, you know, win a lot of those games? And but they are a game over. It would probably be the worst record ever to make the tournament. But
28-27.
One of the things that will be interesting, too, Tommy, is to see how many SEC teams. So there's a chance you get five national seeds. Like, look how many three seeds there could be. Carolina, Alabama, LSU, and Florida, you know, if they get a bid, and Vanderbilt very well could all be three seeds.
10's the most ever, right, Phil? I think I read that somewhere that the SEC's gotten in.
I think you're right.
Okay.
I think you're right. But because there was like 13 wins in the SEC is supposed to be some kind of a magic number that gets you into the tournament. And I think historically it's been really close to that. Now, some of this also has to do with what else happens in the rest of college baseball. Like, we only care about the SEC, right? But, you know, what if ECU almost lost yesterday to Rice? That could have been a bid stealer right there. Rice somehow, you know, or ECU not winning their conference. A stolen bid could be Florida's bid.
Phil, we'll leave it there. Enjoy all the ice cream and sodas you can drink in Hoover, Alabama. We got some Milo sweet tea, so I think we're doing okay back here in Arkansas, and look forward to hearing your call later on today.
Sun-kissed and vanilla ice cream, Ty. It's the morning's best friend, which reminds me, I got to get over to the ballpark and have my first dreamsicle soda of the day.
And apparently strawberry ice cream and Sprite is also something I need to partake in, according to...
It's fun to have science experiments with soda and ice cream, Tie, and other things too, but that's for another day.
Why don't kids go up there and get a suicide? Just get a little bit of everything.
Yeah, a little bit of everything. Thanks, Phil.
Take care.
All right, Phil Elson with us live from Hoover at the SEC Tournament.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
College graduations have happened, not just here in Arkansas, but all over the country. You've had high school graduations. Some have happened. Some are about to happen. Kids are out of school in certain pockets of the state. Others have to wait. Think back when you were a kid, the good old days, right? Like, Sandlot to me is like the perfect summer mood. Not in... Actually, I grew up playing baseball all the time. Occasionally, we went to this field, my brother, my dad, and I. He was still active with us as a single father, just as kids when we were growing up. And then we started having the ability to do other stuff on our own. But your favorite summer activity as a kid? For me, it was the neighborhood swimming pool. It was always the neighborhood swimming pool. It was three houses down from our house. You walk the back sidewalk. And it was right there. It wasn't our own pool, but it basically was from 9 a.m. in the morning till, I think, 8 o'clock at night. That's where Night Swim ran. You would find me there. Now, I'd have to coat up with extra sunscreen. Tommy, you work with me. I'm pretty fair skin for the most part. I don't tan, so I'd have to put on like 3 or 4 layers of sunscreen. But for me, the best part of summer as a kid was the neighborhood
pool. We would, I grew up at the bottom of Fianna Hills in Fort Smith, and we would walk out the back door whenever we woke up in the mornings, put your swim trunks in your golf bag, you'd play your way in, you'd play all day till you're ready to go swim, you'd swim, and then you'd play your way home. So that was kind of what summers looked like for me from about, I don't know, 10 or 11 years old till, you know, until I got a job. You know, so those probably the 4 or 5 most formative years of my childhood. Early childhood, we lived at the end of a cul-de-sac, big circle. So we'd have epic wiffle ball games and, you know, riding bikes and, you know, getting in the mud and, you know, playing with matches and all the things you know, you're not supposed to do. So
we played basketball. That was my, we played wiffle ball occasionally, did roller hockey, and we did various games, football, goal line stand, stuff like that. But I pick up basketball was always something I flocked to as a kid growing up. That was always my favorite.
Well, you think as long as you've been playing, you'd be better at it. I mean, that's what I don't get.
You'd think the same about golf too, but you'd be wrong. That is for sure. And that is your Morning Rush Daily Question presented by our friends at Red River Dodge in Heber Springs.
Red River Dodge in Heber Springs, Arkansas's number one Ram dealer. Log on at redriverdodge.com.
I don't know if this guy's a good basketball player, but I know he's good at what he does when it comes to college basketball and high school basketball discussions. We welcome in Joe Tipton of On3 Tipton Edits. Have you ever seen any of his stuff? Any graphics, any good graphic that you've seen involving a high school or college basketball player? It's probably Joe. Joe, we appreciate you jumping in with us. We'll start with the summer question. What was your favorite maybe summer activity when you were a kid growing up?
I'm going to have to lean with you, actually. Pick up basketball. I was not very good. Truth be told, but I love to compete and I love to play. And, that was kind of the go-to thing for me.
It's a lot of fun, man. Still to this day, just hoping I don't tear anything or break any bones. Joe, it's been kind of quiet the last week or so on the John Calipari front here in Fayetteville. And I know there was just an assumption, and maybe it was wrong of me to just assume that DJ Wagner was a lock. I don't know if he's necessarily that. You've got good insight. Is there still a strong possibility that DJ Wagner winds up in Arkansas Razorback?
Yeah, that one has become an interesting one. I wouldn't say that, I wouldn't write it off that he's not coming, but I definitely couldn't tell you that he is still going to be a Razorback. I think a lot of it with DJ is when he was a high school recruit, he wasn't really heavily recruited just because of his ties to Kentucky and then Louisville. And I think this portal process, most programs thought much of the same. They thought that he would follow Cal to Arkansas, or that he would, you know, keep his recruitment fairly simple. And USC got in the mix, Coach Musselman, they got him on a visit. Florida was poking around for a while as well. I'm not really sure where things stand there now, but kind of what I've been told from people around him is that DJ never truly got recruited at a high level, despite being a 5-star recruit. It was really just 2 schools, like I said, Kentucky and Louisville, that were deeply in the mix for him. And now I think he truly wants to go through the recruiting process and take 3 or 4 visits. But the good news for Arkansas fans is there's such a familiarity with Coach Cal and that staff that I think at the end of the day, that's where he will end up choosing just because of his relationship with them. But yeah, this one's been an interesting one.
On the subject of potential players to wind up in Arkansas, I've seen like Toppin, the New Mexico kid. I've seen Hawk. I mean, I've seen like just guesses, and I don't know if there's any truth to that. Is there another player, either a college player that's currently in the portal, or maybe an overseas guys that our listeners should pay attention to about the possibility of him choosing to play under Coach Cal?
With Toppin, that one's an interesting one. I know there is interest there. I don't know how much interest there is, to be quite honest with you. And then with Coleman Hawkins, I know his full intentions are to stay in the NBA draft. However, Coach Cal has done well being able to get those high-end caliber players like a John L. Davis. So I think if I'm Coleman Hawkins, I'm definitely listening to a call. One guy that I would keep in mind is a high school guy His name is Will Riley. He's currently in the 2025 class. On three has ranked as a five-star recruit, a top 10 player in the class. He will most likely be reclassifying to 2024, and he has Arkansas on his list. So that would be one that I would watch. He's also got Alabama, Arizona, Kentucky that he's considering as well.
Joe Tipton with us here on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. All right, you create all these really cool graphics for all these kids when they make their social media intention or their intentions known on social media. How did you become the go-to person to make it look great and stand out on social media? How did all of that get started?
Well, I appreciate you saying that. And a lot of it was no one was doing it before. So I was kind of the first guy to start making the graphics years and years ago. I think the first class that I remember covering was either 2016 or 2017. So Donovan Mitchell, Michael Porter Jr., guys like that. And I remember previously, I always tell this story, when a player announced their, like, let's just say their top five schools, their final five schools on their social media. I remember Donovan Mitchell, he typed in the notes of his phone, his top five programs, and then just screenshotted it and posted it to Twitter. And it was as simple as that. There was no edit. There was no graphic. So I kind of saw a need for that. And I was on the younger side. I started doing this when I was in high school. And now I'm, you know, working with the high school athletes and now the transfer portal guys as well. So they kind of related to me, and we were able to build a relationship with some of those players. And now there's just a sense of trust, and players before from years ago have seen them, you know, they've kind of grown up watching, you know, my page and watching players before them. So now I'm kind of the person that they work with, and I love what I do.
So is there a story or a time where, hey, you've made a graphic and they're going to announce for one school and you've had to go back and change it, or a time where you've had to make two different graphics and you didn't know? I mean, you've got the scoop inside before anybody else knows what their intentions are. Is there an interesting story about, you know, maybe the way it's unfolded and a backstory to that you could relate?
Oh, yeah, sure. That happens all the time. There's a few times, like, I remember Carter Knox. He was a big-time high school player, McDonald's All-American. He was choosing between Kentucky and Duke. And no one really knew where he was going. There was crystal balls in for Duke, and he ended up picking Kentucky, and he shocked a lot of people just because everybody looks at the crystal balls and know where these guys are going. And I knew that it was going to be Kentucky because he asked me to change one thing on the graphic that he did not ask me to change on the Duke one. So it's kind of like that kind of was the realization point for me. But with the transfer portal, there's guys changing their minds left and right. I mean, I've had probably six or seven players shoot me a text or give me a call and say, hey, I'm going here. And then 2 days later, they've completely changed their mind and they're going somewhere else. So it doesn't really happen with high school players. The recruiting process is so much simpler, so much slower. But with the portal, I mean, it's just madness, and scholarship spots fill up, and it's much more difficult for players to kind of stick to one spot, especially with NIL as well.
We're talking with recruiting expert Joe Tipton with On3 Sports here on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. Joe, you mentioned the process. I wonder if you could give us some insight on the process that maybe Cal had at Kentucky the last 15 years and how similar and maybe a difference or two that you're seeing in Fayetteville the first month or so.
Yeah, his process, I mean, he's always attacked the high school guys. I think that's where he is, that he is the most comfortable recruiting those high-end five-star recruits. And I think he's always been less worried about, you know, not necessarily how good of a team we can put together, but he wants to allow players to reach their dreams, and that's all these players coming up, is that's to reach the NBA. And a lot of Kentucky fans' demise, they didn't necessarily appreciate that, as that's not much of a secret. They wanted to go to the Final Fours, and that's where their expectations in Lexington. And Cal just, especially in the last few years, he just didn't really fit that mold for them. But I think he will go after some transfer portal guys. I know he did this year. Obviously, you can't build a roster based strictly off of high school. And I think he will continue to pluck guys from the portal. But it'll be interesting to see kind of how he adjusts and if he does lean on older guys or if he just continues to recruit high school at a high level.
Joe, last thing before we let you go, appreciate you joining us. You mentioned your relationship with Carter Knox. Carter, again, committed to Kentucky, got out of that, and now signed with the University of Arkansas and Cal. What are recruits like Carter telling you about John Calipari now in Phil? What is their feedback to you about Cal?
Yeah, their feedback is, hey, look, we didn't pick the first go-around. We didn't pick Kentucky because we wanted to be a Kentucky Wildcat. We picked Kentucky because we wanted to play for John Calipari. And it's the same story now. So often fan bases think that that players are signing up because they want to be in Lexington, they want to be in Fayetteville, and that's part of it. But the reason that they sign up at the end of the day is because they're signing up to playing for a Hall of Fame coach in John Calipari, and that is why they choose the program.
Joe, we'll leave it there, man. We appreciate you jumping in with us this morning, kind of give us an update on what's going on with Cal and Fayetteville in this basketball program, and look forward to catching up later on down the road when there's more recruiting news.
Absolutely. Happy to join anytime. Appreciate you guys.
That is Joe Tipton on Three Recruits. And you
know how hard that would be to know, you know, like you said, players change their mind, so you don't think, but to keep your mouth shut when you know where these guys are going, and because you created the graphic. I mean, you got the scoop.
I did a Trusting the Process episode with him. He's a Huntsville guy, lives there. And his backstory is really, really cool. So we got some good stuff from him this morning. And some of you may not like his comments about choosing more Cal than Fayetteville, but that helps you in some ways, and I think it's going to help you as you continue on with this recruiting class.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Have you tried Benville Brewing's new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale? It's handcrafted in Arkansas. You'll taste the great tropical citrus, including the passion fruit, the guava, and pineapple. It's creamy, zingy, and zows the taste buds. It's weird, wonderful, and wacky all at the same time. Try the new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale from Benville Brewing.
Clay, should we boycott Delta? And I ask you that because they are doing a direct flight, not typical, but from Austin to XNA coming up on the November 16th weekend when Texas is in town. It's leaving a little before 5 on Friday and returning a little around lunchtime on Sunday. I'm not usually a boycott guy, but in this situation, I think we might have to. Do we boycott Delta because of this flight?
Well, that's where I've got my frequent flyer miles. So I'm not going to do that because I really like, I mean, I think I got about 140,000 miles. So
wow.
I'm not going to boycott them. And as long as they have that return flight so they get the hell out of here.
There it is.
I'm okay.
Okay.
Well, if they do that.
But, you know, they got to have some help somehow. Just think about all those rusted out Suburbans that they can't drive anymore.
Well, we don't want those oil stains in our parking lots if they drive up here.
Yeah. That is, I would just think that if there was no flights,
there won't
maybe
be that many of them. Yeah. That's how many will come, you know, 240, you know, like on that plane, that one plane. So, yeah, I mean, it's just a drop in the bucket. And, you know, it's.
It'd be a real shame if that plane was delayed late in the night, wouldn't it, Clay?
McDonald's and Burger King got to have some people eat. You know, they. You know, that's I guess they'll probably go to Whataburger. That's their
that's their the
burger,
Texas thing.
Burger of choice. Yeah,
if football.
I get it, Ty. And it's a relevant point. Anytime you want to talk about, I wish they didn't come. It would be you know anybody to do with the University of Texas.
Come on, we'll take your money.
But it's okay. They're going to see a beatdown. I mean, it's going to be ugly. I mean, it's just like the last time they came up here. What was that score? 41-20 or something like that?
41-20, I think it was, or 42-21. It was a and it should have been bigger than that, to be honest. Arkansas was on their side of the field the entire night. So if it does make it here, maybe it's delayed. Maybe I
subs in.
Go siphon the gas out of the tank or whatever before they take off.
If the Hogs can show consistent signs of improvement in their program, then there'll be flights from Fayetteville to places like Austin and Knoxville and Gainesville, and you know, because people will want to go. There'll be demand for it. And if you're better, people will want to come here to see their team play in Fayetteville. So I hope this continues because the team's really good.
And I saw X&A seen an 11% increase, I think, already in flights leaving this year. So we're seeing more stuff coming out. You've got Auburn.
They just make it affordable. It'd be more than that.
Yeah, so. And come on, Southwest. Come home. Yeah. Come hither. I saw Auburn, Starkville, Dallas, and Columbia. I don't have any appetite to go to Columbia. I actually enjoy Starkville, and Auburn's one, I think, the most underrated SEC cities. Really enjoy it. But, I mean, if an airline wanted to take advantage, I would think there's probably something set up in place out of X&A to be able to do that for these upcoming road football games that you have. Other thing, Clay, on involving Texas, and I think you'll enjoy this. So they tore down, finally, the Frank Irwin Center, where they used to play basketball. The official, like, final beam came down, I think, on Sunday. This is a place they played since 77. Has Arkansas had more success there? I mean, you think about U.S. Reed. You think about the wins in the NCAA tournament in both 1990.
Isn't that where Nolan went strolling?
Nolan went strolling. I mean, I think it's reasonable to conclude, Clay, that Arkansas basketball had more success in the Frank Irwin Center than even Texas did.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and really look at the record, but I know Arkansas lost some games down there. There was a period where Tom Pender's had pretty good teams, and it seemed like Arkansas hammered them in the tournament more than that. But yeah, there's good memories in that place. The U.S. Reed shot, I was really, entertaining in that he came over to the press row, which back in those days they just put it right down the sideline. That's where the media was. Mm-hmm. He just all at once, he's standing right in front of me and reached out and shook my hand like he was a proud papa. You know, it's like the players are out there jumping around, and he somehow snuck out of that melee and came to press row. I think he was looking for my dad, who was a couple of seats up, and he found him, shook his hand, and of course, U.S. is a great person, just an absolute dream of a guy, and there's nobody that had more fun with that shot.
Yeah, that was an epic conclusion. They replaced it, apparently, with a medical school. Would you guys trust any doctor with a UT medical degree? Would you, to operate on you? I don't know if I would.
If I was stranded on an island and that's the only guy there, it's like, I'm going to die or he's going to help me, I'll let him help me.
Okay.
But otherwise, I would search for a second opinion.
Yeah, apparently that's what they knocked it down for. And they replaced their basketball arena with the Moody Center, a.k.a. Uterus Center. It literally, if you look at the locker rooms, what they come out, that's what it looks like. And how the Texas board did not see that with the architecture and the designs prior to it actually being built is beyond me. Maybe they wanted it to look like that.
Well,
but that's what they've replaced it with.
There's a chance. And this is the way things work in Texas. If it was a construction project, there's a really good chance that it was an Aggie that did it.
Ah, that makes sense. Well, that's the conclusion on that. So
mechanical engineers, yeah.
Yeah. Clay, speaking of architecture, I know they're they're putting in renovations for the Hoover Met. And I want to say I read it was like $17 million that they're investing in this thing. And I wanted your perspective and Tommy's perspective because – quite honestly, I've never been. But I look at this venue, and it's a nice ballpark, right? But the city and the prestige that you get in Nashville, Tennessee, and Bridgestone, at the SEC basketball tournament, and then also in Atlanta, Georgia, at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, which I've been to both those complexes in both those cities, it just doesn't feel. Now, we had talked earlier, Tommy, there is a conference option to continue on this in 2025.
Yep.
But there's no guarantee that this stays in Hoover. Now, I'm not advocating it to move to Austin, but I think, like, Dallas, you have Dallas now as a giant metroplex within your area. I'm not the biggest Dallas fan in the world.
But you can get on a plane from anywhere in America and get to Dallas pretty much nonstop.
Correct me if I'm wrong. It just makes sense if you can work it out. I don't even think it has to be in Globe Life.
That's too big.
Yeah, I legitimately think you could put it in one of the nicer minor league parks. Even the Nashville Sounds have an incredible ballpark. I don't think you do both tournaments in Nashville.
Is there a minor league park in Dallas, though?
You got Frisco.
Okay.
I just think that you utilize Dallas now like you're doing for media days. Am I wrong on this? Do you go away from Hoover after next year, maybe give them one more year, and then you move on, even though they've invested in that ballpark?
Here's what I think the approach will be if this gets entertained. And Clay, you tell me why I'm wrong on this. They've used Atlanta as home base and never moved the football game out of Atlanta past that first year 30 years ago. They've used Nashville now as the home base for basketball. It was Atlanta. But they'll venture out to Tampa, St. Louis, New Orleans every now and then.
Tampa would be a great option.
Well, there's a lot of storms this time of year, that part of
that's
Florida.
Fair.
I think Hoover can be home base. I think it's and I understand why they use this stadium. They've got a very nice minor league ballpark in Birmingham. Clay, could you use Birmingham or Hoover as your home base, but venture out, you know, every third year to another part of the footprint in the conference? I think, you know, Little Rock could host one at Dickey Stevens. I've always thought Memphis should be the spot for the conference baseball tournament, but this league in Memphis can't ever seem to get on the same page with each other. But I like the idea of Hoover, then every third year go somewhere else in the footprint.
Well, they really like Hoover. And the town has embraced them. And without question, there's something to the fact that it's 20 miles from the conference headquarters.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
And if you're going to spend a week there, just, their people don't have to spend any administrative dollars to attend the tournament. I mean, they don't need hotels. They don't need, rental cars. They don't, you know, that's so, you know, the 20 to 30, and let's face it, they don't want to lose money there. And they've been accommodated by the folks in Hoover, and they're not going to spend $17 million and then bid it out. It's, you know, there's a wink, wink, we're going to be there. And this is interesting to me. You don't want to go somewhere and give a team or teams home field advantage like Arkansas, LSU, Texas. Auburn and Alabama have been non-entities for most of the last 30 years. So you don't have to worry about, you know, a takeover of Hoover of those two schools because they don't care about baseball. They've proven that by their performances. I'm not saying that they don't every once in a while get two or three good pitchers and two or three good hitters and make a little bit of a postseason run, but they're not gonna be or make it uncomfortable for the rest of the SEC to go play there.
And one thing Chuck has made a point on several times, this conversation comes up annually around this time, they like the Hoover setup because you go to the gallery of the mall there where SEC Media Days was forever. You got the hotel connected to the mall. You can, confine's not the right word, but you can put 18 to 22 year old kids in that environment, and there's a good chance there's not going to be any problems. And there haven't been. And I think that's also important is when you think about the setup, it's not just the ballpark and the fan experience. It's the player experience, how you're going to feed them, how you're going to house them. What are they going to do? Because there's a lot of downtime in baseball. And Hoover's got a nice setup for that.
Justin texted in on the McCarty Daniel Hotline. I have been to Oklahoma City and Bricktown before, but I've not been to that ballpark. I mean, is that a possibility in Oklahoma City? Is that big?
Well, there's lots of good options. I mean, you can sit here and come up, you know, when you're talking
25
about
of them.
The South, all across from Texas, Oklahoma to, you know, to Atlanta to, you know, Florida. There's reasons to do it. There's reasons not. I mean, if they're going to move it, I went and hung out at Globe Life for 3 days. There's not a better place. You know, you don't have to worry about the weather. It would be a great place. You know, the only problem with going to a major league park is that their season's underway.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to get them to block off, you know, a week. They don't like to do that.
Yeah. But that can be worked out. That's what you want to do. I don't think a 25 or 30,000 seat stadium is the right venue. I think it's about 11 or 12 there at Hoover, somewhere around that number.
And it looks more filled.
Has a college. Yeah. Look, I mean,
you don't need any more than that.
You don't need more than that because if your event does not look big time on TV when it's half, and you may have a record crowd.
The rental,
but it could be half full.
Live,
yeah,
is going to be a pretty penny.
Yeah,
They have the deal they want in Hoover. It would have to be that town backs away. They're not going to do that. It's, you know, Tommy, you said it. We have this discussion every year. And we'll keep having it, but it's a little bit of waste of breath.
25 straight years in Hoover. Apparently, I was reading it was a $13 to $15 million economic impact. So Clay, that like you said, they're going to fight tooth and nail to keep this thing in
Hoover
in
doesn't
Alabama.
Want to lose it. Mm-hmm. As long as Hoover wants it, that's where it's going to be.
Right. I think I misspoke earlier. I said 17. I think it was $23 million a bunch of things that they've sunk into the expansion and the renovation of this ballpark.
I would love to see it in Memphis for our fans. That'd be great. I think that's a great central location in the footprint of the conference. But can you see housing all those student athletes in downtown Memphis that, you know, trouble would happen. It's just it's inevitable.
My dad even like going there.
That's not a great idea.
I've been to Memphis. Like I grew up going to Memphis, like 2 hours from Little Rock. Soccer tournaments.
They got a
weekends.
Great ballpark right there downtown.
I mean, it's.
Yeah. I mean, Tommy, the one thing that I will say about baseball players, all these guys have been a part of travel teams for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get in trouble. I mean, they're.
There's just
by
places,
and large, they're pretty good kids, and they've been trained on how to act.
There's, you know, places trouble will find you.
Yeah,
Bill,
I mean,
Street, Bourbon Street, you know, Sixth Street. Yeah, there's just some places trouble can find you. You know,
it's always trouble on Sixth Street.
I mean, Memphis to me is good for one night only. After I've had my barbecue, I'm out of there.
Yeah.
I don't even want to spend the night.
Well. The tournament takes place, of course, in Hoover, started yesterday. We've got some results. So Mississippi State wins in walk-off fashion last night. LSU beats the tar out of Georgia, surprisingly, 9-1. You have, who's the other game? Vanderbilt beats Florida. And then South Carolina, again, we mentioned your opponent. It was a close game at first, and then kind of things changed with this grand slam.
Yeah! He got a pitch to hit, deep to right. Is it enough? Grand slam! Carolina's out in front.
So again, Gamecocks are your opponent. We'll have coverage on these radio, on most of these radio stations beginning at 12 o'clock. Ben Bybee gets the start later on today. Here's what Dave Van Horn had to say about that decision.
We're going to probably start Bybee. Coach Hobbs and I just decided to start him. I think that Brady hasn't thrown for a while. Ben threw the other day and threw the ball over the plate, threw pretty well, and you'll probably see Brady sometime this week. Hopefully we win some games and get into it a little bit and get to use them all.
Clay, you mentioned the tryout aspect. I think it was you that I hadn't thought about necessarily, that Ben is in a situation kind of like some guys were last weekend, where this is a chance for maybe you to earn some extra innings or extra trust. It's not just about maybe getting thrown in there, but if you're put in a situation or if you give up a hit or two, it's earning that trust to get out of it. And I think it's a great opportunity for him to earn more of that from his pitching coach and head coach later on at one.
Yeah, just think of it in this term. These you know, the next 2 days, those are midweek games. It's just like the regular season, a midweek game. You want your top end guys for their time to fall Thursday, Friday, Saturday. That's when your main pitchers are going to get their innings, because you keep them on the right rest. So two things for Ben Bibby. You know, maybe he steps up and he's got this big park, the wind blows in, you know, he can gut fastballs, and you know, those outfielders just track them down. You know, they're going to be in front of the warning track. And this is a little bit like Omaha in the size of the park. You know, it was even bigger, and they brought the fences in just a hair. But this is also a tryout for next year, because you're going to lose. I mean, this isn't any fun to think about, but those three hosses that have been, you know, the bulk of your starts all season, Hagen Smith, Brady Taggart, Mason Molina, they're all going to be drafted. You know, they're all juniors, and they're gone. There's no chance that those guys are coming back. So Ben Bibby is kind of a starter for the future. Gabe Woods, starter for the future. Parker Coyle, starter for the future. Now, I would suspect that there's going to be a couple of you know, mid-major, high-end guys that, you know, that transfer in that, you know, affect that, you know, they're going to be in the start. But this is a chance for Ben Bibby to show that he can be a starter against an SEC opponent. So that's partly what this is about.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.